There may not be cake and party hats, but an Asian leader is celebrating a birthday this week. That's one of the top international stories of the coming days, and with me for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. Rob, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's birthday is tomorrow. How old will he be?
Well, Mark, he'll be 35 years young. You might be expecting an authoritarian state like his, like North Korea, to roll out the military parades for the supreme leader's birthday. But actually, we're not expecting any celebrations. Now, in the past, state media has even played down the date of Kim Jong-un's birthday. Unlike his grandfather and father's birthday, that's Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il, it's not actually a public holiday. But Mr. Kim has had quite a year, I'm sure you'll agree, including historic summits with the leader of South Korea and, of course, President Trump, who became the first sitting U.S. president to shake the hand of a North Korean leader.
Now, Kim Jong-un gave a New Year's address in which observers noted a bit of a threat, maybe that unless the U.S. works to end economic sanctions, North Korea could restart its testing of nuclear weapons.
Well, that's right, and that hits at what President Trump has frequently cited as an early success in negotiations with the North, that there'd be no new missile tests. Mr. Kim also said he was ready to meet Mr. Trump at any time, and President Trump has hinted that meeting could happen as soon as next month, as soon as February.
All right, so from North Korea to Turkey now, U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton will be there this week. What will he and Turkish officials be discussing?
Well, this is interesting. They're mostly expected to discuss Syria and the U.S. announcement that it will withdraw its forces from that country. There are about 2,000 U.S. troops in northern Syria. The U.S. has been supporting Kurdish forces there. They've been spearheading the fight against the Islamic State group, and that fight has been largely successful. President Trump recently said the job was done and U.S. troops could start to come home. But the U.S. position on those remarks is now shifting. Take a listen to this from our reporter, Charles Haviland.
Washington is steadily moving away from President Trump's surprise announcement last month that U.S. troops would immediately quit Syria. Mr. Trump himself is now admitting that Islamic State isn't totally vanquished there. And his national security adviser, John Bolton, says U.S. forces won't depart until Turkey guarantees the safety of Kurdish fighters who've been the backbone of the U.S. campaign against IS.
So mentioned there of Kurdish fighters, Mark. Now, the complicating factor here is that Turkey, an American ally in NATO, of course, considers the Kurds in Syria to be supporting a separatist movement for Kurds within Turkey. So by and large, they consider the Kurds as terrorists.
Now, Rob, Turkey had threatened to attack those Kurds in Syria, but seemed to hold back because they were supported by the U.S. Is that about to change?
Well, that in part is what Mr. Bolton's trip to Turkey is all about. So U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who's also in the Middle East this week, has openly warned Turkey not to, quote, slaughter the Kurds. So that will likely be a main demand from Mr. Bolton as well. Now, remember, Turkey has two concerns. One is the Kurds, and the other is a vacuum in northern Syria, just over its border, that could be filled by the leftovers of the Islamic State. The Kurds, for their part, feel utterly betrayed by the U.S. withdrawal, whenever it happens, and have begun to make concessions to the Syrian government, hoping they can secure some assistance from the regime in Damascus.
All right, Rob, let's finally talk about Venezuela, where Nicolas Maduro is sworn in again as president, but not everyone seems to agree with that.
Yes, that's on Thursday. Now, Mr. Maduro faces opposition within his own country, within Venezuela, but also from outside the country. The so-called Lima Group comprises 13 countries in the Americas. Take a listen to our reporter, Leonardo Rocha.
The declaration signed by 13 Lima Group foreign ministers states they won't recognize Mr. Maduro's new term, as last year's election was not free or fair. But the decision taken by Mexico's new leader, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, to withdraw his supporter is a major boost for Mr. Maduro and a big blow for the regional body.
So you see, Mark, some countries are against Maduro, some are with him. Now, a bit of history. Venezuela was run for years by Hugo Chavez, who brought in a populist regime that took wealth from the country's massive oil reserves and put it towards public services. He was incredibly popular, if divisive. He instituted a new constitution for the country, but he was accused of dictatorial suppression of his opponents. When he died, his deputy came to power, that's Mr. Maduro, and he vowed to continue the revolution of his mentor. But the falling price of oil has devastated the Venezuelan economy. Millions of people have fled the country, hospitals are without medicine or electricity, and it has one of the highest murder rates in the world. Mr. Maduro won re-election last year, but critics say that vote was neither free nor fair. For his part, Mr. Maduro says he's fighting an economic coup attempt by the US and that there are plans by the Trump administration to remove him from power by force.
And Rob, Venezuela's been making friends with some controversial players recently, right?
Yes, Mark, it's worth a mention. The country recently hosted a pair of Russian Air Force bombers, and there were reports last week that Iran will be sending some of its navy into the Atlantic, apparently to dock at Venezuelan ports. So this is a story we will be watching.
All right, that's the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mark.